Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A little while. 7 times in just 4 verses. The Holy Spirit repeats it and drives it home and drives it into our heads so that we can't forget. Just one word in the Greek, mikron, a micron, just a little while. What? The Christian's time of sorrow and the world's rejoicing. A little while and you will see me no longer. Today's gospel, along with the gospels for the next 4 Sundays after today, they're all taken from John's gospel, chapters 14 through 16, which was all spoken by Jesus on the night he was betrayed, Maundy Thursday, to his disciples, after Judas had left to go betray him. 3 years had been the time Jesus had spent with these 11. Now it was down to just a few hours before Judas would catch up with them in the Garden of Gethsemane together with the armed guard to have Jesus arrested. 3 years was now down to just a few hours, just a little while. Soon Jesus would be arrested, tried, and crucified. He would be buried, and they would see him no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Just a little while. That little while, we know, was only 3 days. Just till the 3rd day, or for Thomas, 1 week longer, before they would see Jesus again and rejoice. But he doesn't say that here. Jesus doesn't spell out to his disciples or to us just how long that time of sorrow will last. Just how long it will be before we see him and rejoice. He just says, a little while, and that's enough. But the disciples couldn't understand even that yet. They were too sorrowful, too sad, too wrapped up in the dashed hopes and dreams of earthly happiness. Of a Jesus sitting on his throne in an earthly kingdom, sitting on his throne in Jerusalem and making everything okay here on earth. According to Jesus' words, that wasn't going to happen as the disciples thought it would. Not yet. Not for a little while. What does he mean? A little while this, a little while that. What does he mean, because I am going to the Father? What does he mean by a little while? We don't know what he's talking about. Do you know what he's talking about? Do you want to ask him, as the disciples did? That's okay. This is recorded for us in the inspired scriptures, which means it's not just a private conversation between Jesus and the 11, and that's all it means. This is God's word recorded for our learning. This is Jesus' promise to you too. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. The disciples did weep and lament when Jesus was taken from them and they didn't see him any longer, especially since the last time they saw him, they were running away from him and abandoning him in the garden. But then they did see him, as he promised, and they did rejoice. The world rejoiced when Jesus was gone, when he was put to death and buried and out of sight. And the world still rejoices because the world still thinks that Jesus is dead. And for as much as we tell them, no, he's not, the witnesses saw him alive. He lives. The world thinks we're crazy for actually believing that to be a reality. And so the world still rejoices because the world can't put up with Jesus. Because Jesus lumps all the works of the world together and calls it all sin. He condemns all the wickedness of man, all of it, the false religion, the hypocrisy, the gossip, and the hatred, and the staying home from church, as if God never commanded sinners to go and hear his word and honor it. But in the same way, he condemns all the good works of men who offer their goodness to God as a reason for him to give them his grace and favor. Jesus insists on being the only way to the Father, on being our only righteousness before the Father, on being the only Savior of mankind. No one else is admitted. Only his goodness is allowed to stand. So the world rejoices now for a little while Christ is hidden from view. And Christians mourn now for a little while too, when times of suffering and tribulation come and Christ moves away for a little while so that we can't see or experience his love and his comfort and his joy. He allows you to be sorrowful and to mourn for a little while. Why? In order to devastate our imagined free will that we think we have, so that we realize we have none. In order to pull the rug out from under human powers and human works, so that we place no confidence in them, so that we realize that we are powerless to comfort ourselves, powerless to face life in a world that is still ruled by the prince of demons. It's part of the Lord's discipline for his people. And the point isn't for you to ask, what did I do wrong so that I'm so sorrowful? Or what can I do to fix myself or to fix my life so that I'm not sorrowful anymore? Not at all. It's not about you and your works of fixing things. You're hopelessly broken, and that's the point. You're a hopeless victim against the devil and against sin and against the world. Without Christ, you're nothing. So he uses affliction to drive us again to Christ, to show us that all is worthless and all is hopeless and all is lost without him. Only with him is there joy and comfort and safety. And even then, the joy and comfort and safety doesn't come from us, it just comes from him. But the promise of Christ is that the sorrow by his absence will only last for a little while. That's a promise you can cling to. Your sorrow doesn't mean that he loves you less or that he's somehow gone back to being dead after he rose again from the dead. He paid for your sins on the cross, whether you're aware of it or not. He rose from the dead and lives, whether or not you feel it or experience it. Even when you don't feel the tiniest bit of divine comfort or joy in the resurrection, even when the fact of Jesus' resurrection from the dead doesn't seem to move you at all. You have this word of promise from Jesus that that sorrow will last for only a little while. So, as Isaiah said, wait on him. Those who wait on him will be lifted up on wings like eagles. Wait for him patiently. He will return with his comfort and joy. He will strengthen you and sustain you now with his word of forgiveness and with his body and blood, even when you don't see him or feel him doing it. And after a little while, you will see him again. You will experience his comfort and the joy of his death and resurrection for you. Only don't lose hope. Don't run away from the only tools that he has given to sustain you in these times of sorrow, which are his word and sacraments. Instead, trust him. Trust his promise. He won't lie. See, he told you ahead of time how it's going to be. He said it's going to be like a woman in labor who gives birth. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. The pain has to come before the child is born. It's the way it is. The sorrow has to come before the joy that replaces it. The cross has to come before the glory, before the crown. And aren't you glad it's that way instead of the other way around, where you get to be joyful now for a little while and then you have to suffer forever? That's the way the world has it. Aren't you glad that the sorrow is just for the little while and the joy is forever? Now, is he talking here about the here and now, or is he talking about when he comes again in glory to take us to be with him in his heavenly kingdom? The answer is yes. The answer is both. The Christian life will always have plenty of sorrow in it before the time when Christ comes again, when he's revealed, when he stops being hidden from view, and then no one will be able to take our joy away. That's true. But even here, even now, the risen Christ comes to you with his word and promises to help you here, to help you now, to help you even by allowing times of sorrow and mourning to come into your life, so that he can come after a little while with his comfort and with his joy. And you will see him, and you will understand better than before that Jesus is a faithful and a loving Savior, and that his resurrection from the dead, his life here and now, really does get you through today and tomorrow. So that even if you're not wearing a smile on your face, you can have that joy in your heart always. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.